Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law, pound 529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. For those who missed it, I am wishing you a good Friday morning, not just a Friday morning. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, everybody.
Hey.
My little buddy Kelly Bidley is here as well. How you doing, man?
Good, man. How you doing?
Huh?
Yeah.
Why are you look so suspicious? Like I was. It's a very sincere question.
I'm doing great. How are you,
like,
Gil?
I don't know, Gil. How are you?
I'm ready to go, man. Football Fridays.
Football Fridays. Felica, Fezzik, Dr. Bob. Always the headlines on Friday for hour number two. Can't wait for that. College pro college is how we do it. Hour number two. Before that, though, don't turn away yet. Jason Weingarten with all his bets from under a cloud of smoke. UFC 309 with Jordan Sherwood. You ready for some John Jones tomorrow?
Big UFC card tomorrow night. The this little boxing match is it feels like it's taking all the attention all of a sudden away.
There's a little thing tonight.
Yeah, a little thing
on
some guy named Mike Tyson.
Yeah,
is how you pronounce it.
Yeah, we should probably circle back to that here at some point here in the hour. And of course, we'll do Are We Sure? Are We Sure for week 11 in the National League, in the National Football League. Estamos seguros, for those listening in Spanish. Are we sure about certain things in the NFL? Which means we have to begin. We're contractually obligated to begin with last night's football game. Philadelphia Eagles take down the Washington Commodores 26-18. Washington is, and we have said this on this show, I have said this on the show now for 4 to 6 weeks. They are exactly who we thought they were, right? They are a team that is capable of beating teams that are as good or lesser, but a step up in competition doesn't quite work out for them at this point yet. That is why they couldn't at any point be power ranked higher than the bottom half, not only the bottom half, but about eighth at the most in the top 10 power rankings. Now, that didn't stop me from micro betting them last night, by the way. First quarter, first half game. Game didn't work out so well. When it got to four, I couldn't resist anymore.
Man, that was surprising. I saw 4.5 at one point.
Yeah, it did get to 4.5 at one point. This is, listen, Eagles just a better football team. They wore down Washington. Let's go back to this because everybody, you know, once the game is over, there's a certain, Eagles won, Washington lost. And let's say all the positive comments for Philly and all the negative ones for Washington. There are plenty of negative ones for Washington to go around. But there was a lot in here for this game followed the same trajectory as that Philly-Cincinnati game a couple weeks ago, which is to say Cincinnati and Philly were tied through 2.5 quarters of that game before Philly took over with a pick. There was a fumble. There was a stop on downs. Philly just wore them down in the same way that they wore Washington down yesterday. I would argue that for 2.5 quarters last night, the Washington defense might have been the best unit on the football field yesterday. I had mentioned that last week, too, that everybody thinks the Washington defense sucks. It's not the 85 Bears, don't get me wrong, but they don't suck. And they showed that for a long time before they got worn out yesterday, because then it was the Washington offense that was just so putrid. The Philly defense took over, and the Washington defense was on the field for so long that I think they just got worn out of that football game. But, you know, and people are going to talk about Jake Elliott missed two field goals and he missed an extra point. That is true as well. That muted the score. But there are moments in the game that get lost. 7-0 Washington. There was a drive in the second quarter where you may remember Jaden Daniels threw to the feet of Noah Brown. Noah Brown was wide open inside the 30. The subsequent play, Austin Eckler could have just walked to a first down. He just dropped the ball. So there were moments like that also, right, which were self-inflicted, that were unforced errors by Washington as well. So let's not erase that part of it. I will say this, though. Jaden Daniels, worst game he's played. Philly deserves credit for that. I don't know how much of that was game planned by Cliff Kingsbury, that Jaden Daniels would not go downfield, or how much of it was that he just could not go downfield. Terry McLaurin targeted twice in this game, only caught one pass. I believe only two, until that last drive, I think only two wideouts caught a football, only once each. I think De'Ami Brown with a 4-yard completion at one point as well in that game. So absolutely Philadelphia Eagles, better football team, wore them down. The Eagles just went to Saquon late and just destroyed Washington. But I do think, you know, is Washington there for the, a lot of the armchair quarterbacking today is going to be, oh, I don't know if they're a playoff team. Their schedule tells me they're a playoff team. They have a very easy schedule. They're going to get some wins. They're going to be a playoff team unless they have a complete collapse here. The other thing is, as for the fourth and two, I'm going to have to agree for one of the rare times. I'm going to have to agree with the brain dead anti-analytics community who always tells you when a fourth down doesn't work, but always, always 100% of the time fails to mention when it does work the bajillion times that it does. But they were right about this one last night. Second and inches, you fail to get a first down. Third and one, you fail to get the, you actually get, you lose yardage. Fourth and two at that point, kick the field goal. Just kick the field goal and go up, right? And Washington didn't do that in a 12-10 football game. They couldn't get there. It was a bobbled snap. The play was botched to begin with. And then it was Katie barred the door from that point on, Philly just rolling. I think both teams are exactly who we thought they were.
Yeah, I was more okay with that fourth down decision than seemingly everybody else on Twitter.
I don't think it was the worst one on planet Earth, but I would have kicked at that point. Because you had the evidence on second and third down. You're like, okay, Jalen Carter is not going to let you do anything here.
Yeah, you know, you did. And obviously, I don't even know if I like the play call. We didn't even get to see it really play out.
That's right.
Once he fumbled the snap. That's but right. I don't even know if – I think you bringing up what they did on the earlier downs, I think that's why I can say I don't know if I really liked the play call. I think you want to get him out with a run pass option, I think, in that situation. But they've been so successful for it on fourth down all season. Like, I understand if you're Dan Quinn and that staff saying, all right, like, I don't know if a field goal is going to be good enough here to win this game. We got to take the chance here. I was sitting there on the couch saying I'd be kicking a field goal, but I don't have a problem with this right now. It's one of those games that's tough to look back, I think, from the Eagles side of things afterward, where what do you take away from the Eagles? I think if I just saw the score this morning, I would say, okay, Eagles really starting to show that they are one of the better teams in the NFC. And I don't know, after watching the whole game, I don't know if I can sit here today and say that they had a great fourth quarter. That's what I can tell you. They had an amazing fourth quarter.
That's what I'm just saying. I just think the oh, they're so good and the other team is so bad narrative is just incorrect of how the football game went yesterday. Now, in the end, are they the better football team? They are. Listen, 435 to 264 in total yards. And even that was a bit cosmetically, you know, colored by the last Washington drive. Can we speak about that last Washington drive, by
sure.
the way?
Yeah.
The lack of urgency down two scores was also very odd. First of all, there's a bunch of little signs, right? So Jaden Daniels is a relaxed guy to begin with, but when I was watching the pregame and they had him and they took a shot of him in the hole there before they went onto the field, and I'm like, this is one of those things where, like, the relaxed look. We used to say this about Robinson Cano in baseball. Robinson Cano had this really, like, nonchalant way about him. And when things went well, when he's playing for the Yankees, right, and things went well, you're like, ah, look, he's so cool.
Right.
But when they don't, right, it's very easy to turn on that kind of body language. So Jaden Daniels was it's not his body language, but, like, his sort of nonchalance with the face before the game. I'm like, oh, no, I don't know if this is going to be a rough one or not. He, again, that was his worst game. People can blame. We'll get to the Cliff Kingsbury stats again momentarily. People can blame the game plan. It was definitely Jaden Daniels' worst game.
Oh, yeah.
His worst game.
We talked about it yesterday.
Yes.
That is it's a lot to ask on any rookie quarterback. Yep. Short week, going in to play the Eagles at night on Thursday night. Like, that was going to be the big test all along.
But there was a lot odd, right? Including that for the fourth down call. But even that last drive was weird, right? And they were like, okay, well, you know, it is two scores. We'll see if we can just sort of, and they had the one shot of Dan Quinn getting, just losing his mind. Like, let's go. And by the way, I also didn't think that Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit properly, you know, conveyed how nonchalant it was until the very end. There was a lot weird with that too. There was the PI they called on Cooper DeJean on one of those where he yanked the shirt. They mentioned that, but on the previous drive when Sanistril was called for a phantom illegal contact, they said nothing. They, like, said two words. They're like, oh, okay. I'm like, say something. It just didn't happen.
That one was really annoying because, like, that's one of those calls. Like, okay, you could call that on almost every play in the NFL. Yeah. Like, he's passing off the wide receiver, right? I had a bigger problem with the lack of urgency that you're talking about than that fourth down call.
Me too.
I was like, what are we doing here?
Yes.
Like, this is, You're still in a game. What is going on?
And the 2-point conversion to Ertz, which I think Fezzik wants to talk about later on the show. The 2-point conversion on Ertz, I think they missed the point of the whole replay, yeah. Which was he may have been bobbling the football the whole time they're looking at the feet. So I'm just like, okay, it was just an off broadcast to me.
I mean, I went like, it got so bad, you know, like I went volume up on the Mavs game because I was like, I don't know, Washington's just taking their sweet-ass time.
By the way, here's the Cliff Kingsbury numbers again, in case you missed this yesterday. This is the thing about Cliff Kingsbury through the years. Now, all the Texas Tech and Cardinals years you see at the bottom, those 10 years are Cliff Kingsbury as a head coach. Last year, he was the senior offensive assistant at USC. This year, of course, the OC with the Commodores. What you see on the left column is your first 7 games, and look at that. First 7 games in those roles, his teams, Washington Commanders, USC, and the Cardinals and Texas Tech, 56-27-1, first 7 games collectively of all of those seasons. And what that's 12 seasons of football. After that, this is updated from last night, 22-59.
It's crazy. It's so crazy. I'm so glad you put this stuff together because, like, you can hear this all you want, but once you see the numbers in your face,
it's incredible.
It's incredible. And I don't, like, I'll say what I said yesterday. I don't know that I'm running out to, fade the Commanders' yes. offense every week going forward, but there's something in there.
It's pretty fast. I'm with you, Kelly. I'm with you exactly. I don't know that it's actionable trigger a bet information, but it is a little bit of put it in the betting arsenal of things you're going to pay attention to.
Yeah, you know, sure
I don't know
is.
If it, I don't know if it outweighs anything else, but it's something to keep in mind. So there it is. Eagles, by the way, congratulations. If you're on the Eagles last night for the game, good on you, despite the number moving up as the Eagles wear down Washington and absolutely prove that they are still the best in the NFC East. That's for sure. They'll get another shot. Washington will at Philly. A little later on in the season. We'll come back. We'll talk about things we are or are not sure about in the NFL. A little segment we like to call Are We Sure? That and some Tyson Paul talk from Teddy Atlas's perspective next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
So many sports in action, so little time. There's no better time to put the VSiN experts to work for you because of that. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get instant access to our daily best bets, 19 hours of live programming, power, strength, and better ratings, plus our exclusive betting splits. Start your VSiN Pro subscription today for as little as $9.99 and see everything VSiN has to up your betting game. Sign up today, VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. No shortage this morning. John Fitzgibbons at JPFitz7. Oh, great. Megapod as usual. Thank you, sir. Brent Musburger, the guest this week. We had such a great time with Brent. Montana, Wyoming geography, even regarding what you said about Curry being the most beloved team athlete yesterday. I think you're right. Only comparable I can come up with is Ohtani. They're both unicorns. That's for sure. That might be the only comp. Chili Gambler, I love ANG Friday. So do we. Valika Fezzik and Dr. Bob coming up as well. Brosek 1870. You know it's pure respect when Gil didn't jump all over Brent about altitude versus elevation. You let him off the hook. What do you think? I have to show some respect. You think I'm going to like say something to Brent?
Oh, man, I got it. This is already planned for my ride home listen today. Someone give me the minute mark on that. I got to make sure I soak that in.
Can you imagine the chutzpah if I was like, Brent, it's actually elevation. Could we get that straight, please? Can you imagine the moxie?
Can't wait to send it to Matt Brown.
Hoops by Hoots. Blessed to get on iHeart this morning and see A Numbers Game is still free and not $9.99 like the Summit League. Oh, yeah. Wishnev was going off on that during the Wishnev was more interested in some Summit League game yesterday during the recording of the podcast with Brent Musburger than he was the podcast itself.
Wait, what? We're charging to listen to Summit League games?
Yeah, the Summit League is not part of ESPN3. The Summit League is one of these few conferences that breaks off and wants to charge by themselves. So they're like, for you to watch our Summit League college basketball games, you must pay us $9.99 a month. And Wishnev, like this is his North Star in life, where he's like if we go to a sushi place and they give us like, 7 pieces of sashimi and it's $34. You have to endure Wishnev screaming for 5 minutes. I can't eat this on principle. I'm like, okay, more for me.
I'm kind of like, I feel like it's a very stupid idea, but then also like, I mean, who watches those games anyways? It's gamblers. They're going to pay for that.
Well, apparently not that gambler. Not that gambler. Wishner. Las Vegas 514. Yo, Jaden showed he's actually something called a rookie. He absolutely did. Yeah. We will be fine. Mm-hmm. Our future is bright. When we put it all together in the future, watch out. I agree with all of that.
Yeah, perfect tweet.
I agree with all of that.
Especially beginning it with yo. I love, that's my favorite part every time.
Oh, Lance Schaefer. Listen to this. He goes, hot take. Jaden Daniels is not special. RG3 squared. That is for you, Gil. Sent with love, Gil. That's my audition for ESPN. A ridiculous take that is directed at clicks, right? It's very nice. Let's see here. Oh, and John Balduzzi talking about, I wouldn't let, so we have a rule on the Megapod that you have to pick sides or totals, that's it. And Brent wanted to do like a 5-player touchdown parlay, so I could, that one I had to say something.
Oh.
So John Balduzzi says, when the king wants to make a 5-player touchdown parlay as one of his Megapod picks, you just got to let it go, man.
That's great.
We had a good time with Brent. Brent is so nice. Making an annual appearance on the Megapod, the Beating the Book Megapod, so we appreciate that greatly. Okay, before we get to Are We Sure, a couple words about the Paul Tyson fight, because we sort of resisted talking about this until yesterday, and we did a whole segment on with Crack, we put it out, and by the way, this is the thing about this stuff, you never know what's going to hit on Twitter.
Yeah.
People cannot get enough of this. I almost said something after the word this. People cannot get enough of this stuff. Tyson Paul, Jake Paul's minus 210 favorite. Mike Tyson's plus 170. It's 8 rounds, 2 minutes per round. Somehow it's sanctioned as a pro fight, even though it's 2 minutes a round for eight. I don't know. 5.5 rounds of boxing. The over is slightly juiced. Will the fight go the distance? The no is heavily juiced at minus 195. And then there's the, one of the props is first round, first minute finish. First round, first minute. Not even first round, first minute, 20-1. So, Bill and I, and Bill was, the reason it came up yesterday is because Crack, we like to keep abreast of things that are happening in the gambling world, even if we are not betting it ourselves. Crack might bet Jake Paul, he said. Mm-hmm. But the big thing is that the books are just taking one-way action on this. So it's all Tyson money, right? It's all Tyson money. This has come down. But there's a whole generation of folks who remember Mike Tyson as the great Mike Tyson.
Everybody just wants to bet on Tyson one more time.
He's 58 and Jake Paul is 27. It's not often you get to handicap a fight where there's a 30-year difference between the opponents. But I was more curious, what does Teddy Atlas have to say about this? And Teddy Atlas, so I listened to his brief little podcast about it, and it was kind of what you would expect, which is his big thing that he kept repeating over and over is the biggest thing that we can repeat over and over. Teddy Atlas kept saying in his Teddy Atlas accent, he keeps going, if this is legit, over and over, and that's what you have to remember as a bettor. If you believe this is legit, then knock yourself out and bet. Hey, see what I did? Knock yourself out. Hey. Knock yourself out and bet on this. I don't know if it is or not, and so I'm not. In other words, there's the business conspiracy. Oh, Jake Paul is going to win because then his career can continue, whatever, right? Then if you really believe this is above board, maybe it is. I'm not saying it's not. But if you believe it's above board, by the way, Mike Tyson's slapping him in the face during the weigh-in. You see, that was wonderful.
More importantly, did you see the interview with the kid yesterday? I was going to pull it in for the show, but there was a little too much swearing in it by Mike Tyson. I thought the editing might be a little difficult. No, everybody at home should watch that at some point today.
Okay. But Teddy Atlas's one sort of boxing thing was, and he even said, you don't need Teddy Atlas to tell you this, is if you really do believe Mike Tyson is going to win this fight, bet it early. Like, make all your bets early. Because he said he believes for one round.
Early in the fight. Yeah, I mean,
he says for one round, a 58-year-old Mike Tyson can do his thing.
Yes.
After that, you know.
Yeah, it's, I mean, like, I think you're right. If we're taking this seriously,
yeah,
isn't Mike Tyson, isn't the strategies obvious? Tyson's old. Tyson's still Mike Tyson. Shouldn't he go try to knock this kid out in the first couple rounds? And if you're Jake Paul, shouldn't you be doing this, Gil? I'm going to mess up the camera.
Watch this, ladies and gentlemen. It's Kelly Bidlin dancing around the studio. There's Kelly, everybody. He's going to come in front now.
Just there,
there goes Kelly.
Run away from Tyson.
Kelly, you know, if you still shot there for a moment, the camera went black. Nobody saw anything for a moment.
I mean, isn't that what you do, though? Just get into the distance. Isn't Paul winning
yet? Yes. I just leave you with this. I've brought this up before. When 73-year-old Ernie Shavers was on a numbers game like 5 years ago, sweetest man, Ernie Shavers, who was largely considered even a harder puncher than George Foreman. And at 73, I was like, hey, if we just walked out here right now and you punched me in the stomach, would I fall down? And he sort of smiled. He goes, oh, yeah. Because he's Ernie Shavers.
Right, yes.
And I don't care if he's 73. So if you think it's legit, that was his advice, Mike Tyson early. But he keeps saying, and I think this is for us who like to bet seriously, I don't know if it's legit or not. I just don't. Are you betting it in the end?
No.
I'm not either. Are you watching it?
I don't even know.
Like, I will watch it. That's where I draw the line. That's where I draw the line on being an adult. I will absolutely watch this.
And this is like, why is it Friday night? Like, this is so weird. Like, I don't know.
Well, for those of us who have exciting lives like myself, Kelly, Mike Tyson and Jake Paul on Netflix ain't the worst option.
Plus, kind of like you said, from both a betting and viewing standpoint, my interest level only peaked yesterday. So, like, you know, I hadn't really been planning on this.
My issue is your issue, which is, okay, when does this start? There's like 7 preliminary fights. So when does this actually happen?
Yeah. Unlike the UFC, which we're about to talk coming up with Jordan, I might be interested in some of those undercard fights in the UFC. Right. Boxing, not at all.
That's right. I didn't even mention Jordan Sherwood on 309. Yes, I did mention it earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Are we sure week 11 in the National Football League? We have no intro.
Right. We have no intro.
It's a very heavily produced show.
No, we just get the, we get me saying it in the high voice. Are we sure? Okay. Are we sure?
Okay.
All right. Are we sure that nobody can catch Jaden Daniels for Rookie of the Year?
Yeah, we're sure about that. Listen, he's allowed to have a bad game.
Mm-hmm.
He is permitted to do that. He would have to totally collapse at this point for him not to get Offensive Rookie of the Year. God forbid an injury. It's Jaden Daniels to win. Yes.
Okay.
We are sure.
Are we sure Lamar Jackson should be a -110 favorite to win MVP?
You know, I am actually somewhat sure about that. I know Josh Allen folks are going to disagree with that. I don't think there's another person you can disagree with that. Quite frankly, Patrick Mahomes has not had a great Patrick Mahomes season. So I do think it's a two-headed monster. Should it be -110? It's got 24 touchdowns and 2 picks, man. It's kind of hard to argue with.
Yeah, and hard for me to push back on anything you said. I feel like I heard a little bit more love this week from Mahomes again, and I'm like,
let's not do that.
I think it's what you just said. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know me, I'm a big Josh Allen guy. Lamar absolutely should be the favorite over him, but it's kind of a two-horse race.
It is a two-horse race.
I don't really know that I see. I can't justify a bet for anybody else on the board.
Right, I am definitely sure it's a two-horse race.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are we sure the Bengals, Dolphins, and Jets have no shot at the playoffs?
No, we're not sure about that because the Broncos have the 7th position right now at 5-5. I'm on the Broncos this weekend, but those teams are just a 9-iron away, right? Like if the Bengals win this week and the Broncos lose, bang, they're right there. So no, we're not sure about that those teams are out.
Yeah. Jets take down the Colts. Yep.
Yeah. Dolphins right there as well.
I'm just going to keep bringing it up because I feel like we all want it to happen or we all think it's going to happen. It just hasn't happened yet. You know what I mean? With all those teams.
We are not sure about that.
Are we sure? The Colts should be going back to Anthony Richardson.
We are because Flacco, if you were trying to make the playoffs, Flacco didn't allow you to do that the last couple weeks. So you might as well find out what you have in the rook. 4-6. If you're the Colts front office, you're like, even if we were to make the playoffs, even in a perfect world, if we got there, what are we really talking about? We're going to lose right off the bat. So yes, I am sure that's the correct move. We'll come back. UFC 309 and more. Are we sure? Next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Are you the type of player who's looking to get down $10,000 or more on an NFL line at the best price in the market? Or perhaps you're looking to get your in-game play instantly accepted? Introducing Sportrade, the app that's going to change sports betting forever. -104 lines instead of the typical -110. Instant in-game betting and a concierge player service. Sportrade, perfect for those who want a premium betting experience. Sportrade live in New Jersey, Colorado, Iowa, Arizona, now Virginia. Download Sportrade, use code VSIN to earn 10% cash back on each wager in your first week. Terms apply. Got to be 21 years or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. Skill Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin, producer number 9, so much more than the producer. Want to give you those two Are We Sures real quick before we get to Jordan? The two remaining?
Oh, sure, you got it.
Are we sure?
This is kind of away from NFL, kind of.
Oh, okay.
Are we sure?
Yeah.
We should not be betting Shedeur Sanders to be the number one pick.
Well, we're not.
Should we be betting him right now?
I know, it's so many double negatives.
Yeah, there's a lot of double negatives.
We are sure that we are not sure. No, I'm not sure that we shouldn't. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Like he's over 2-1 right now.
Especially everybody's conspiracy theory where it's like Cowboys fire McCarthy, hire Deion, Shedeur. I don't know. He might very well be the first pick. He might.
I'm kind of starting to think about it. Especially since some of these other quarterbacks, like Carson Beck, right? Like, he's falling off. No. I don't know if he's right there. All right, NBA one for you. Are we sure Wemby will be in the MVP hunt at the end of the season?
I don't know about that. I think, look, he's capable of that 50-point outburst that he had the other night, but I don't know that it's going to be consistent enough. You?
I don't know either. That's why I wanted to ask the question. So. I'm really excited at the possibility, though.
You have a ticket?
Yeah, we both do. Right? It's like our Bengals ticket. Didn't we bet it like as soon as it opened? Yeah, we bet as soon as it opened.
I don't. I have
it. It did go to 150-1 to 50-1 real quick after that 50 burger.
Sure did. But I'm all about Steph at this point. All about Steph. It's a big combat sports weekend. Let's talk some UFC 309 with Jordan Sherwood, who joins us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. He is, of course, the co-host of the Unnamed MMA podcast. You can follow him on Twitter at Wood on ESPN 1000. Jordan, how you doing, man?
I'm good. Yeah, like you said, it is a very interesting, almost DeLorean time machine combat sports weekend with the Paul Tyson fight and then UFC 309 with Stipe Miocic and Jon Jones fighting for the heavyweight title.
Yeah, before we get to Jon Jones and Miocic, let's talk about real quick to see if you have any thoughts on Mike Tyson and Jake Paul. Do you?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's going to be a spectacle. It's on Netflix, thankfully, so I will be watching if I'm awake, because I don't know what time they're going to head to the squared circle. If you're a fan of Mike Tyson, I probably wouldn't suggest watching. I think the likely two scenarios are either a knockout or a split decision, controversial decision in Jake Paul's favor. When I handicap mixed martial arts fights, you have to take in age gaps into account. And certainly when you're talking about 3 decades of a difference in boxing, I think you do as well. So as much as I'd love to see Mike Tyson, go back to his glory days and knock out Jake Paul, I don't see that scenario happening. So I think it's Paul via KO or Paul via decision as the likely result.
Do we just live bet Paul after like round 3? You know, like when Tyson tires about. See, Gil's getting upset about this.
I knew you were going to bet this in the end. I knew you were going to bet it. You can't resist. I thought you weren't even going to watch it.
I don't know that I will. But if I am, totally I think I'm going to live bet him after.
Well, maybe
rounds.
I won't be able to resist either. We'll see. I just don't want to see Jordan. The only thing I don't want to see Mike Tyson on his back from this. Like, I don't need that image. Yeah. I just don't need that image. All right, let's get to UFC.
I was just going to say, probably don't watch it then, because that could happen.
Okay. All right. UFC 309, Jon Jones, as you said, the main event, Jon Jones and Stipe Miocic. This is a Jon Jones, Miocic. Jon Jones, a big favorite here, minus 625. Jon Jones, when last we saw him, was taking down Ciryl Gane, but that was over a year ago. But he's had a year to prepare for this, right? And Miocic, the thing with him is great career. I think most people remember, and maybe this feeds into this line being so lopsided, most people remember him losing to Nagano, I suppose. But before that, he was awesome. How are you betting this? Pretty interesting fight.
Yeah. Look, it should have happened years ago. It was booked for March, but, Jon Jones suffered an injury. So, it's over a year since he competed, but it's been over 4 years since we last saw Stipe Miocic inside the octagon. And granted, Miocic is a future Hall of Famer, probably considered the greatest heavyweight champion of all time. But what is he going to look now like at 42 years of age against Jon Jones, who, looked brilliant, as you alluded to, in his heavyweight debut? He's now had a year and a half to get adjusted to fighting at that weight class and not at 205. And it's just a difficult matchup for Stipe Miocic. He's going to have to negotiate the distance because Jon Jones has that unbelievable reach. So Stipe is going to have to sit in the pocket. Stipe has always relied on his wrestling during his career and is, becoming the heavyweight champion. Jones is a better wrestler than him, and I think can utilize that. So I agree with the odds. They're completely lopsided. I do expect Jon Jones to completely run through Stipe Miocic because I don't see an opportunity where Stipe is going to be able to land one of his strong power punches and cause Jon Jones some issues, because Jon Jones has never been touched throughout his entire mixed martial arts career. So here's the play. I think at some point, Jon Jones goes to his wrestling and gets Stipe on his back and locks in a submission. The price is high on that because Miocic has never been submitted in his mixed martial arts career. He's only been knocked out. But I think Jon Jones has relied on submissions, relied on his grappling. So At that price point, which I've seen it anywhere between like plus 250 to plus even 400, I think that's the likelihood result that you have to play.
Okay, John Jones via submission. And there's no doubt John Jones, correct me if I'm wrong, best pound-for-pound fighter in the history of UFC, yes?
Yeah, look, the only blemish on his career is what he, what's happened outside the cage. I mean, yeah, he had a loss, a DQ loss early in his career, which has now been kind of retracted because they now allow the 12-6 elbows. And I hope John Jones looks brilliant. I hope he has the itch to fight one more time because Tom Aspinall, the interim heavyweight champion, that's the fight most fight fans want to see. And hopefully we get it. If they pay John Jones enough money, I think he'll step in the cage and fight Aspinall.
All right. Co-main, Charles Oliveira, Michael Chandler. Oliveira, a minus 245 favorite here. They fought before. Oliveira stopped Chandler early second round. Now Chandler's older. Still giving away reach, still giving away height. How is this going to be any different?
It's not. I see Charles Oliveira probably having a Charles Oliveira fight where he likely gets dropped in the first round, looks like he's going to get put out of there, and then recovers and finishes Michael Chandler. You got to remember, Chandler's been preparing for a fight with Conor McGregor at welterweight for the last 2 years. That fight never came about. Now he's fighting at lightweight against a guy that finished him. Charles Oliveira looked great in his last two fights, even though one of them was a loss. And Michael Chandler, despite his career and being at the, you know, at the top of the marquee and a former champion in other promotions, gets hit a lot. And he has some of the worst defense we've ever seen in mixed martial arts. Oliveira is going to land something. So, you know, look, I think you got to get that price point down to about minus 200 for Oliveira inside the distance. And I see a submission happening as well. So there's plus money there. Oliveira wins the fight. And as Kelly was talking about betting it live with us off the air, Paul Tyson fight, maybe you bet this live because I think Oliveira maybe loses the first round and then bounces back and gets the finish.
I'm no UFC expert, but gets hit a lot doesn't seem like an optimal strategy.
It's not a good strategy
to lead with your face. No.
Not a good strategy. Bo Nickel also on the main card. He is a prohibitive favorite against Paul Craig. Bo Nickel, a 6-0 lifetime. How are you choosing to bet this?
Yeah, I think Bo Nickel wins this fight in the first round. Paul Craig, you know, likes to be put on his back because he relies on his submission game. And Bo Nickel, that's where he shines, is in top mount position. So either Bo Nickel is going to get a quick knockout on the feet because Paul Craig also leaky defense, or he's going to be able to get on top, feel comfortable in Paul Craig's guard, and get the TKO finish. Bo Nickel is special. He's a guy that many people have pegged to be fighting for a middleweight championship very soon in his mixed martial arts career. This is a showcase fight for him on the marquee in Madison Square Garden before the two big co-main and main event fights. So I think Bo Nickel wins this fight and wins it early in round one. You get it at plus money.
Okay. Give us one on the preliminary card, if you would, Jordan.
Yeah, you see there on the screen, Eric Anders, I think he's should be the big favorite against Chris Weidman, the former middleweight champion of the world. Weidman hasn't been the same. He's at 40 years of age as well. Hasn't looked good since he broke his leg two fights ago. I don't think he's going to be able to utilize his kickboxing or his wrestling to control Anders, bigger guy in the cage. So Eric Anders at a $1.20 price would be the direction I would recommend.
Okay, John Jones via submission from Jordan at 4-1 odds. Always shop around for the best price. Charles Oliveira, how are you doing that one again? You are going.
Yeah, I think to get it down inside the distance only is minus 200, but submission prop, if you want some plus money, I've seen it out there. It's some good value. So Charles Oliveira via submission.
All right. Bo Nickel in round one at plus 110. And then Eric Anders on the prelims, taking Eric Anders on the money line at minus 120. Going up against Chris Weidman. Thank you, Jordan. Appreciate it as always. Enjoy the weekend, including the fight tonight, man. Let's go.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys. Always a pleasure.
Jordan Sherwood, everybody. Courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, UFC 309 tomorrow night. After, of course, the Tyson-Paul fight tonight. So a big combat sports weekend. You can follow Jordan, by the way, again at Wood on ESPN 1000. Jason Weingarten warming up the Football Friday Talk next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Nothing delivers comfort and joy. Tidings of comfort and joy, if you will. Quite like the unrivaled quality and taste of Omaha steaks. This year, skip the holiday hustle and bustle and save 50% off gourmet gifts site-wide at omahasteaks.com. Plus, get a $30 reward card when you shop early and score an extra $30 off with promo code NUMBERS. With five generations of experience, they consistently deliver the world's best steak experience, and the gifting experts. That's the gifting experts at Omaha Steaks have gift packages starting at $89.99 from legendary steaks to mouthwatering desserts and more. Save 50% off site-wide at omahasteaks.com. Plus, our listeners get an extra $30 off with promo code NUMBERS and a $30 reward card when you shop early. That's 50% off at omahasteaks.com. I'll spell it O-M-A-H-A, steaks.com, and an extra $30 off with promo code NUMBERS. Minimum purchase may apply. You know what my favorite part of that read is?
What, how anxious I get when you get, when you lean into promo code, because like I've been Pavlov dogged for so long. Like, yeah,
I'm so sorry about that. No, when they
just good thing you don't like toss it to me.
Oh,
when they use the wrong promo code,
they use the phrase legendary steaks.
It's good stuff right there.
Well, what does that mean? Like steaks that are, you know, like they mean like, oh, the standard fillet or bone in or that kind of thing.
I don't know what they mean.
Or like steaks that were so good that they remained,
you know what, you
legendary
know what?
In memory.
You should ask the legend Dr. Bob when he comes home.
He won't like that. No, he will like that. Just doesn't want me to call a pioneer. We get tweets of Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Disc golfer. You ever played disc golf? Is that a thing?
Yeah, it is. It looks fun. Never have. It doesn't look fun. I don't know about you. I can't throw a frisbee.
Yeah, I can't either. Disc golfer. Not only did fourth down bot, who slants going for it, agree with the field goal, the worst part of the play is Jalen lowering his shoulder to try and get the first down and getting absolutely blown up. I agree that they should have kicked the field goal. The worst part of the play was that the snap was bobbled. Like, it was done before the play even started, I thought. Jason H11, great megapod, the legend, and Moishe Inzer in the same pod. It's referring to Todd. Rick Olier. Oh, Rick Olier just loves this stuff. He goes, did I hear you say Robinson Cano's name drop earlier? Is it random old baseball player Friday already? Okay, then if I must, Jason Bartlett. He wants to play this game all morning. Jason Stark, I will be watching and betting on Iron Mike. Small bet for fun and old time's sake. Charles in Connecticut. Now I have to go back later in the VSiN Watch app, product placement alert, to watch Kelly running around the studio. Well worth it.
Yeah, I'm just trying to break down the strategy that Jake Paul should follow tonight.
That's exactly what the VSiN Watch app is for. Thank you, Charles in Connecticut. Chili Gambler comes back. He says, I'm not typically a conspiracy theorist, but I don't think this fight is legit. Tyson's ass goes down in the fifth, or Marcellus Wallace will have Jules and Vincent Vega after him. Let's hope he pulls a Bruce Willis. A little Pulp Fiction reference. Drew from Boise, ask Felica later about Jeff Schwartz's Mahomes MVP theory.
Oh, okay.
All right, maybe we'll do that.
Okay.
Logic 3227. In your opinion, does Washington still have a chance to win the division, or do you think that ship has sailed now? Oh, I still think they have a chance. They get Philly again, but they are going to have to be a better football team than they showed last night. The schedule's easy. That's the thing. They ain't done yet. But Philly definitely in the driver's seat, and Philly definitely the best team.
Yeah, plus 350 now the odds for them
plus
to win the division.
Plus 350.
You're right, though.
It's not a horrible number. That's not a horrible thought. I've heard lots of worse bets than that.
I mean, if you aren't a believer in the Eagles, for sure, because that commander schedule is not tough, like you said.
Bainbridge DeWeese, not sure I believe it's legit, but my son, who is not a sports fan but followed Jake Paul when he was a kid, wants to watch the fight with me tonight. So, man, I hope Tyson knocks Paul out 20 seconds in so I can say I told you so.
See, that's what it is. This is where the Hardwood Handicappers chat's blowing up. This is what JVT's talking about, too. I think it's the old versus the young.
I keep saying it every time. Like, there is a generation of us that remembers Mike Tyson as the greatest knockout artist there ever was.
Yeah, I think this time it's the younger generation that's like offended by everybody going out and betting Tyson. So they have to come back on Paul, who they want to justify as a real boxer.
It's the reverse Shaq. It's like 58, 78. Not 78. It's like, go crazy. Corey Henderson, 75. What number would you need to bet the Bucks to make the playoffs? Not as high as you might think, because their schedule is super easy, too.
I just, when they with those wide receivers out, I can't get on board.
And lastly,
looks so different.
Brandon Kyles, for me, the math with this Tyson-Paul fight is simple. Free as a Netflix subscriber plus unavailable for wagering in Pennsylvania equals best case scenario. It's actually a great tweet.
That is awesome.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jason Weingarten joins us from under a cloud of smoke somewhere in Southern California at Spreadopedia, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. How's it going?
Going very well. Jason, there is no one I would like to chime in more on this Paul-Tyson fight than you. Your thoughts, sir?
You know, I mean, my first thought is I see Mike Tyson early this week at plus 250, and I'm like, 250 in a boxing match versus, you know, not a real boxer. Well, I got to take Mike Tyson. So I'm currently in on Mike Tyson to win for all of $100 at plus 250.
Wow.
I would like to make a much larger bet on this. I don't think at the current odds, I'm super excited about betting Mike Tyson anymore. I'm also not really looking to take a dive with Paul here and lay something and you know, get knocked out by Mike Tyson. I mean, Mike Tyson has knocked out better boxers than Jake Paul. It just happens that he was, you know, half his age when he did it. So I don't know. You had that tweet where you said, I don't think this is all on the up and up. I think Mike Tyson understands his job here. His job is probably to keep putting Jake Paul over, because Paul's career takes a big dive if he loses. So, you know, I think Tyson's here to take this fight 5 rounds. I want to see Tyson knock him out. I mean, that's what I think everybody wants to see.
I do.
But do I think we're going to see it? No, I think boxing has a way of mostly disappointing us. So this tends to lean more towards gimmick fight than serious.
Yeah, I'm with you. There's also two other elements we haven't mentioned on air that are just sort of take this from, is it legit? Is it not legit too? What kind of jokery is this? Jokery, by the way. Rosie Perez is on the call. Did I hear that correctly?
That's what Jordan told us.
Jordan Sherwood told us Rosie Perez. She
was a part of the broadcast.
Famously from White Men Can't Jump, and as Reggie tells us, a dancer on Soul Train.
Mm-hmm.
Rosie Perez will be part of the broadcast. The other thing is the size of these gloves apparently will make you laugh out loud upon sight.
Oh, really?
That was the other thing I heard. Where it's like you're gonna turn it on, you're gonna look like, what are those? So I don't know to what extent those two things are true. But I mean, you can imagine if that does make you laugh, then what are we talking about here? What are we doing?
I would advise not getting over invested in this because you see a tweet that says, oh, we're taking so much action on this, or we took huge bets on Paul. Or, yeah. You know, this is not something you want to lose a big chunk of your bankroll on and look stupid. So
that's a great point, Jason. Think about when you win and lose in sports betting. Think about the ones that make you feel silly when you lose on it, right? Playing somebody else's stuff and it loses. A draft that goes bad, right? It's great when the draft is going great, the NFL or NBA draft, but when they're bad, you kind of feel a little silly, a little more silly than you do on a normal handicap.
Betting under on Shohei Ohtani's hits.
Bet certainly would qualify as well. Absolutely. Do you have any football plays this weekend, Jason?
Yeah, I got two plays I like. College for tomorrow, actually. The first one is Sam Houston State minus 16 against Kennesaw State. They fired their coach recently. I think about half of their starting lineup has entered the transfer portal. One of the things I like to teach people when they ask me questions about getting better at betting is not necessarily to focus on trying to handicap the best teams, but find the worst teams and handicap them. And, you know, a team like Kennesaw State is having a terrible season. You're going to find a lot more value, you know, running them into the ground than expecting, you know, they're going to win a game or two, you know, to end the season. They're probably not. They're probably not going to be a very good team, you know, from here on out. But so I'm really down on Kennesaw State. I like Sam Houston here. I got 16. And then I bet Utah plus 11. I just can't get behind Colorado beating Utah by 11, even without their first or second string quarterbacks. I'm not saying Colorado's not having a good year all of a sudden, but 11's a lot. So I'm taking the dog in that game.
Hey, what's your dog's name?
Chica.
Chica.
Chica. She wants food, so she's sitting on my lap till I feed her.
Chica's like, enough of this Benny talk. Hang on, Chica. It's almost over. The Kennesaw State, going back to the Sam Houston Kennesaw State play, what percentage of your bets, I'm just asking you to speculate, are on some kind of information like that? Coach fired, half the team not, because we played a college basketball game earlier this week, Hampton against Providence, where like Providence had all these, you know, guys that were absent, and so Hampton easily covered that game. What percentage of your bets across sports are like that?
Say like 10, maybe 15 if I'm lucky, but those are my favorite kinds of bets.
Okay,
I mean, those are more enjoyable.
Okay, they're more enjoyable. Let me ask you a serious follow-up. What would you speculate your actual record on those ends up being? truly.
I don't have like a separate tally sheet of just those games, but I would assume I do decently. You know, I'm not going to say I win all of them or 80% of them, but
I find that I'm a lifetime 4-75 on those. I really do. Like, it just never seems to work out.
Don't forget Rose Zhang's right off the lead too in women's golf this weekend. She's still like,
there you go.
There you go. There's a Columbo comment after and leaving the room. Thank you, Jason. Go feed Chica. Appreciate
it. Have a good weekend. I'll talk to you guys later.
You too. Jason Weingarten, everybody. Felica, Fezzik, Dr. Bob next on A Numbers Game.